Tagedei Torah Mensch, der Gedzain Edel Toshin Behe, Harav. Harav Yaakov Shmetuna.
Like to discuss Mr. Shem today about when we did Shabbos, covering the tablecloths on Shabbos around the house with the Shabbos like a tablecloth. Every Shabbos morning after davening in Aguda, we discuss halacha. Last week we discussed this halacha, and quite a few people came after davening with Horus. I looked into it a bit this week, and very interesting certain things, where it comes from, what the makoy is, what the halach is, and what one does or doesn't have to cover. Something that we do every week. Mr. Shem, we got Yom Tovim, Avon Melin, Retova. We got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Asukas, Chol HaMoed, many days. And it's a noisa which is worth discussing. What must one cover? How one must cover? What's the importance of covering it? We'll see the sugi. The Gemara says in Shabbos, Kuf Yotes on Mebeis, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shnei, Malachi, Ashoris, Melavin Loi, Lo'odom, Barev Shabbos. Mebeis HaKnesses, Lebeisei. When a person leaves the shul and he comes home Friday night, he's accompanied by two malachim, Echad Toiv, Echad Ra, a good malach and a bad malach. Ukshebo Lebeisei, when he arrives home, Motzo, Ne'edoluk, V'shulchan Aruch, he comes home and he sees that there's a candle which has been kindled, which is lighting, which is a light, the table set, the bed is arranged where it should be. The malach toiv oimei hirotzen shetehei leshabbos acheres kach. Umalach ra balkochoi oino omen. The malach toiv gives a brocha that it shouldn't only be this week, next week should be the same. That the shibzoicha to such a set up such a table, for such a Shabbos Kodesh, and the Malach Ra is forced to answer Amen. And when the Gemara says, the person comes home and he sees that the Shulchan is Aruch. What does it mean the Shulchan is Aruch? Does it mean that the tables are set? Does it mean that there's food on the table? Does it mean there's a tablecloth on the table? What does the Gemara mean? But we do have a Gemara. The Gemara says very clearly that the way it should look like when a person comes home Friday night is that the table should be Aruch. What Aruch is, the Gemara doesn't explain, but this is something which is adds towards, not just towards the aroma of Shabbos, that's the covet of Shabbos, and that makes that the Malach should give him a brocha. So in Seda Ayoim, he says, Sarich shehei beisei mesukin karo, pull the nice kelim out, kol vidut nechvoid, akala kol shkei nechvoid, the covet of the Ribbono shel Olam, ubedovo nekel ef shalase zeh, Vahu Inyan Rav. It's something which is easy to do, and the tachlis of having your table set for Shabbos, a person manages to achieve a lot by doing it. So it's quite an easy thing to do, and the result is that it adds a lot towards the person's covered Shabbos, and it allows Kiddush Shabbos to enter his home. So what is this Inyan? First of all, when is the time when a person must keep his tables covered? Is it Tafkib Bizman the Suda? Is it right the way through Shabbos? Is it just Friday night meal? Is it the other meals? So the Rosh Shulchan Aruch is Yisadeh Shulchanoi V'yatziah Amitis. And the Ramah says in Simle Yishnam Chbeis, Yeh Shulchanoi Aruch Kol Yeh Mashabbos V'chein Aminik V'ein Neshanis. The Ramah says that there's the Ikadin and there's the extra. The Ikadin is when Shabbos comes in. But the Ramah already says that the Minik is that the table should be Aruch right the way through Shabbos. And the Ravush says, when it says Aruch, it doesn't mean a person should have the table set, because after the Shabbos day meal, what's he set for? And he's having Shashudas at home, what's he set for? And Friday night does have to be set ready straight after the meal, maybe an Indian, but that's not what the Shulchan Aruch and Simrish Hamachbeis is referring to. The Shulchan Aruch is referring to, says the Ravush, that there should be a mappa on the table. should be a tablecloth on the table, and that is what the Shulchan Aruch says. Me'ika adin, it's Friday night when a person comes into Shabbos, that l'chvoid Shabbos, there should be a tablecloth on the table. And the extra is that not only l'chvoid Friday night, right the way through the Shabbos, it should be covered. So the Mishabura says, there should be two tablecloths, and Makar the Mishabura is a Maganavon B'Shem HaMashal. And the Mashal says, the reason why you should have two tablecloths is because when you shake off the crumbs, when you change the top tablecloth, were you to only have one, then the table would be uncovered. Says the Mishabura, says the Rabbi Yom Zilba and Oznit Gru, and nowadays that we have a plastic, so it's good enough one. It's not a din of having two kisuim. It's a din of not to be left without a cover on it. So obviously there was a good enough one. But you see from the Mishnah Berurah the severity of having a double cover, of it being covered all the time. The Ad Kedei Kach, you should put a double cover on B'Shem the Mashal, the whole Shabbos, in order for those few minutes it shouldn't be left without a cover on top. So there were over one Maaser from the Chazon Ish. But then somebody came afterwards and said that Reb Osher used to say, it's like covering a lady. A lady has to be covered, parts of her body. It's as important as that to keep the tablecloth covered. I told him, also remember that Nusach, but I don't remember where it comes from. And then I saw a third Maaser. The Maaser Stover was a Maaser of the Chazon Ish, which is more down a Maaser Ish, Chelek Vav. There was a Greiser Tamad Chochem, the Rav of Lomja, the Divrei Malkiel of Tannenbaum, and Chazon Ish used to say over some maases about the Divrei Malkiel, about a dibbuk that took place in the time of Divrei Malkiel. Chazon Ish used to say that when there was a dibbuk in the times of Divrei Malkiel, the dibbuk was around in the room, and when it came Dvorim Shebekdusha, the dibbuk used to get nervous because the dibbuk had acted in an oifen of Tumah B'chayev, and therefore Kedusha was a big shter to his existence. When we brought in Dovah Shabakdusha, he got some. Chazon Ish said that they brought in a Zoya Kodesh, and the Makil said, bring in a Zoya Kodesh or the Zoya Kodesh around, and then it got completely out of control, the Dibuk, because of the Kedusha and the Zoya Kodesh. The Makil said, I'll show you something. Bring in a Zoya Kodesh that's printed and not a good source. I don't know whether it was from the Tumah or whatever, those who had produced it, and it didn't have that reaction at all. The same content, the same sefer, but the produced from not a good source, didn't have that effect. And Chazon Ish said about the Malkiel said about this dibuk that because its source was Tumah, it always tried to associate itself, to attach itself to Tumah. He said there was the part of the table that was uncovered. That's where the dibuk could have had a grip, and that's where whatever he wanted to do, he was able to do because he was able to hold on to be in existence, to be around in that room. What a little drop of the tablecloth uncovered. So the Chazon Ish and the Makil, you see the importance, we think a tablecloth on, tablecloth off, bit more, bit less, what difference does it make? Can we see a little bit uncovered? Now that Loshen, which they said that Reb Osher used to say, the same as a lady being uncovered part of her body, the importance of it is the same. That Loshen comes from the Chazon Ish actually. The Chazon Ish is to say that the same way as there's an importance of a person, a lady, parts of her body to be covered, the tablecloths need to be covered for Shabbos, they've got that same severity of making sure that it should be covered at all times. And the third thing I saw was a similar story with the Dibuk in the time of the Chofetz Chaim also, that when the parts of the tablecloth was uncovered, it caused the Dibuk to react. It wasn't only the Chazon Ish that over from the Divrei Malkiel. In the times of the Chofetz Chaim was also such an episode that the tablecloth being uncovered. So we see that it's a great Indian. Not only it's a great Indian, it has an effect on the Kedusha. It affects that when the Malach comes, the Malach says, this is the house I want to be in on Shabbos. And we see that not only it has an effect, but for Kedusha, but for Dovah Shabbat Tumah, it manages to take a grip on it. So a few things. First of all, Benigea to which tables need to be covered, and secondly, how long must it be covered? So there's Mishabura in two places, Mishabura both in when he discusses in Simrei Samach Beis, and there's a Mishabura Benigea to Matzah Shabbos Hilchas Lev Malka. When Mishabura discusses Friday Shabbos morning and Shabbos itself, Mishabura says when you come home, one doesn't take the tablecloth off until after Avdalah. Not a very well known halacha. Some people, it's easier for them to clean up and take the tablecloth off. Shabbos is over. Why should I get the tablecloth dirty? B'Shas Avdolah, Mishnah Berurah says that the tablecloth stays on till after Avdolah. Meshuvah doesn't have machmir. Chalukis about it. The part of the kedusha of Shabbos is until one says avdala, one meshubura. Another thing says the meshubura, even less known, is the meshubura says a person should make his table should be masada shulchanoi from Lev Malka. Says the meshubura, you should put on top a mappa yofa, and it's mashma in the meshubura that you should put on the same Shabbos dikya tablecloth that you have for Shabbos. You should put on from Lev Malka. I wonder how many people even know of such an halacha. When you set your table for Motzei Shabbos, you set the table not only with whatever you need for the Merav Malka, the food you need. Mishibura says you put a map on, and Binyam Zilber writes in his son of in Birura Halacha, and V'chein in the letters of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, I saw that somebody asked Reb Chaim, he says he doesn't understand. Mishibura writes in one place, you should keep it on till after Avdallah. And another place Mishibura says you should have a tablecloth on for Melev Malka. So Moshe Burah said to keep on till after Melev Malka. So the person suggested to Reb Chaim that a koch, what Moshe Burah means is take it off straight after Shabbos, after Melev Malka, and after Avdallah. And part of the covered for Melev Malka is to put it on again. And Reb Chaim says, no, that's not what Moshe Burah means. Moshe Burah is talking practically. If a person wants to clear up after Shabbos, after Avdallah, you want to make, you have your Avdallah with your Melev Malka, wherever you have it, or in a different room, or it's going to be later, it can be in the winter, it can be much, whenever it is, then you put on a new fresh tablecloth, or the old tablecloth comes on a kaponim Shabbos tikkun mechubetikish tablecloth lechvoid avdala. So we learn two things in Mishibura. Number one, avdala requires a tablecloth like Shabbos needs. Part of the covenant of Shabbos is having a tablecloth. Avdala still has the Shabbos tikkun tablecloth on. Number one. Number two, Merav Malka also has a tablecloth, Shabbos tikkun tablecloth on the same way as when it's a Shabbos. Now this. A few times where it's a sofik, where a person should or shouldn't, a shayla in the poskim. First of all, there's one time in the year where some poskim say you shouldn't have tablecloths around us. In Sukkos, Sukkos says Mishibura brings down, the poskim say, and Yorabba, most poskim argue, but Yorabba says that in Sukkos you should only have a tablecloth in the place you're eating and not around the rest of the house. Because there you're trying to make your house into an arai. So if you have a tablecloth on around the rest of the house, your house is Shabbos stick, ready for Suda, and your sukkah is ready. That's not the way sukkah should be. Sukkahs, you've moved over to your house, only the sukkah is the place where you can have the meal, and the rest of the house not. It says that Lirabba, when it comes to sukkahs, you put only on the place where you're eating, only in the sukkah, not the rest of the house. Rove Poskim argue on that, and Aloch Ramayis, the minig is that one puts even in other places, but one should know that it's machleks about it, number one. Number two, and when it comes to Chol HaMoed, Chol HaMoed, Rav Poskim hold that Chol HaMoed also needs a tablecloth. Prima Godim and others hold that when it comes to Chol HaMoed, it's got the same din. Like the Chibad Dodoi, Sus Nekia, the din of Kovid that a person has to do when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov is to put a tablecloth on. The same way when it comes to Chol HaMoed, a person is supposed to keep the tables covered. Those are the important things, the basic halachas of when a person should have it covered and which times of the year. Now, we many Yisrael Torah, and Shabbos doesn't have a makoy, it doesn't have a makoy, we tend to cover our tablecloths on Shabbos with a white tablecloth. Most were all brought up, and that's what it was, B'meshach Adairis, one puts on a white tablecloth. Any makoy for Dafka white, or not white, it was a mikra, that's the only thing they had in those days. Any reason to try to have a white one, or whichever matches better, is put it on the table. So interesting, the Lirabba brings down from the Seder Ledarach, that you put on a white tablecloth. Now, the Seder Ledarach himself is mashma, and even the way that Lirabba brings down, it's not dafka din in a white tablecloth, because he says the reason why a person should have it is in order they shouldn't see the boishes of the table. It's not considered dignified if you don't have a cover on. So that's the reason, what difference does it make if it's white or not white? And Tilo David Haker writes that even though the Lirabba brings down the Seder Ledarach that it should be white, Abba, white is lav dafka, maybe that's what they used to do, maybe it looks nicer, but anything that adds towards the covered of the Shabbos, that can be used as a tablecloth, like Atchira. So writes it in Ledovit. However, this nusach of white is known from the Seder Adarach. There's the Re'em Shuv, which is the Talmud of the Rashba, in Parshas Baleischo, and there's Rabbeinu Yonah ala Torah, which has the Drashas ala Torah, and they also say about putting on a white tablecloth. And the truth is that we have a Gemara. The Gemara tells us, in Yumadaf, Ayin Heir Med Aleph, that the mon was white. It was covered in white. in order to be meramis for the liban avonisem shel Yisrael. So there is a musik, a gemara that already refers to something that was dafka white, in order to make sure that, to show the purity of Klal Yisrael, and the times of the mashal, there's something called a b'yechanan luya, Shabbos luya, his mishbocha, in the sefer, mishivis nefesh ala teir and pashas b'shalach, his loshen is, gam laurich ha-shulchon b'mape levono nekiya, kemoy sha'atal yorad lemato menamon b'chol yeim. And so he says, cover it in white, and he writes very clearly, the reason of white already shtelt through the Gemara and Yuma. So, all these things that people do, I'm not saying it's, a person's not mechaber the Shabbos, if he doesn't have to put a white one on, but it's interesting to know that it comes, the Rishonim where they use that Lashon, the Rabbi brings down, they say, the Doch that says that Lashon, and even though Teledovitz says it's Navdavka that Lashon, but if the Rishonim, so many of them use that Lashon, and we've got somebody read in the Tkufa of the Mashal, that Shtel Tzu, the whiteness of the Mon, to the white on the tablecloth on Shabbos, so it would seem that the reason why they expressed themselves of it being a white tablecloth was something that had quite a strong Makoi, and there was a positive reason behind it to say that it should be white. Which tables need covering? Mishabur brings down in Be'alocha Machlekes. Is it only the place where a person eats? Is it all the tables around the house? Now, I don't understand, and people take a ask after the Shion Shabbos, what's about, no, lo shamanu, that a person covers his bedside table? Bedside table, cover it up. So, have you ever heard anybody covers the Choy Shabbos a bedside table? So, what table does require or doesn't require? Mishabur brings down in Be'alocha, he brings down that there's the table where you eat on. Then he says, he's assigned to the Elyon Rabbah, and the Prima Godim brings down the Elyon Rabbah, and the Prima Godim is Machria, then you should cover all the tables around the house. V'chein, most poskim say that the right thing to do is not only the place where a person eats on, the fact that we said before and from the Vosh, it's not a din, when it says Yaruch Shalchonoi, doesn't mean the cattle on the table, it means that the table should be covered. And the Vosh says, and the Tazim of War, that means putting a tablecloth on, and if we take on, like most poskim seem to say, that's not dafka the Shabbos dikka table, it's the other tables around the house, so does that mean a person should be covering, where does it stop? Ground floor? The areas where you walk in, not a bedroom, but where? Who draws the line? I don't know. And what happens if a person has a study, and a person shtender is not supposed to cover it? You do? That comes into the shul is also an inyan. It comes to shul, all of a sudden, shtender. So what?
So teach yourself, because you say, they've got two covers, the tools, you take one off, it becomes dirty after one sukkah. The fact that it says that implies it's only by table.
No, it means the sukkah, it's true, by code.
So maybe
an achlamia, a site. I don't know, you could say that the table where you eat on should have to, according to the mashal, and the places you don't eat will suffice, but they'd have one. Yeah. They're talking about the place we eat. But the other places, you know. So how much? Where does one draw the line? Which place? Yeah, now, Chaim Knievsky starts to have a shtend in his house as well. Choy Shabbos is to do that. So what is it? So your learning room, your dining room, your I don't know. But it obviously does go across to somewhere besides for the ikechiv of covering one's table. It does spill over to other places where one enters. If a person goes away for Shabbos, it's not going to be in his house. There's no inyan to make sure that the tablecloth should be covered. But if a person's home for Shabbos, then there's an inyan to make sure that it should be covered. So again, so let's just sum up the halachas that we saw. It has to be done with chilas on Shabbos. A person should be makbid, that at all times the table should be covered. A person sometimes moves past the tablecloth and they get uncovered. We said over from the Chazon Ish and from the Chofetz Chaim, the Tumah to tzugeklim into a place where there was tumah, number one. Number two, it's all the tablecloths to be covered. And number two, we said the inyan of white is meaning Yisrael Teiruhu, even though the Tilo David says it may not be a must, and the Zichah person is Mekamit with others, but from the Rishonim, from the Ibn Shuv and Ibn Yonah, his mashma should be a din in white. And Cholamoye 2, Sukkos 2, Avdala as well. Melev Malka as well, and like we said from Reb Chaim, the Melev Malka doesn't mean that you have to put a fresh one on for Melev Malka, but if a person did take it off, a person should make sure to have it on for Melev Malka. The Indian of Neiris, I was punk once in Tresant, I was once by Pan, but Neiris by Melev Malka on Motze Shabbos, how many Neiris does one?
Two.
Well, two.
I do two, so
it
must be right.
Okay, that's Mombokoi, better with the end there. A free edicum, okay? I was once Baron Bishop Stenbuch on what's of Shabbos Merev Malka, and I think I don't remember whether he did or didn't have the tablecloth on. I'm sure he did, but we don't look out for something. Most of the Ramayin, Shalavadaiti, you don't notice it. And we had one candle, and he lit it. And somebody asked him, how come we left Malka? You know, we put two candles. So Thomas, Zocha Vashamoy, two new ones, we left Malka, stage of candle. One candle, why do you have two candles? Just back upon him with one candle of Motzah Shabbos to make sure that a person has the tablecloth on. As a person is Mechabed the Shabbos, as if it's Nafsan, a person, like we saw in the Gemara, a person gives the Shabbos its respect, and then the Shabbos looks after a person. The Melachim Amalava, a person, he sees if the candles and his table and everything is there, ready for the Shabbos, then they look after him.
You need that candle
burn right out? No, but Shas, the Suda, but afterwards you can put it out. Yes, no. I never had that. I don't know, Vesnish. Well, after Melav Malka, think about it afterwards? Vesnish. Well, by your side candle, I have to say not to put that afterwards. By your side candle, I have to say not to, but even after Motzi Yom Kippur and these things over here. You put it on. Yeah. I saw Maisa yesterday. I saw last night, actually. Late last night, I saw Maisa. I'll tell you where I see it. You can see it inside. I'm worried about Maisa, and for me, it's. Besides for the Maisa and the Chizik, which has lots of aspects, I think it's something that a person could use for a big Chizik towards the Yom Naroim. I saw it in the Deshu together with the Deshu Yomi, where they bring out the halachas and some things on the Daf. Put on a Maisa and Shmuel Bimbam on today's Daf. Shmuel Bimbam was Yodua for his Avos HaTorah. It's a smother batera. There was never a day when he never showed up in the Besmedish, wherever the weather was and wherever his condition was. He always made sure, and whenever he saw people were scared. I remember when his live room became Tetz Yisrael, people were always scared to give a Shalom Aleichem, a Rosh Hashiva, or a Magid Shia, when he would give them a Shalom Aleichem, or say it to Vos Letman, and it would start straight into the deep end, and the sugi you were learning, ask Akasha, and if you weren't confident in what you were learning, you made sure not to give him a Shalom Aleichem, because he knew it would be very embarrassing when being confronted with him. Shmuel Bimbam lost a son, Bechayov, Reb Leib, Bocha Leib, he was in Netanya, those areas in Eretz Yisrael, and the security guard thought he was a terrorist, and he shot him, Rachman Litzon, he lost his son. Reb Shmuel, when he was Nifta, his son was his successor, in Yeshiva, May Yeshiva, he was one of the Yeshivas in May Yeshiva in America. And he used the burden, the oil of the Yeshiva, the finance, fell onto the son. So he made an appointment to go and see a Gevir to be able to get something for the Yeshiva. He knew, didn't know this Gevir personally, he didn't know this Gevir had any shaykhis with his father, but he did know that this Gevir is a great Baal Stoker, and most people that come in for an institution, for Moshe, they would give them $1,000. So he thought, not knowing my father, but not having a connection with this Gevir, it's worthwhile paying him a visit. He went round and introduced himself, who he was, who his father was. So he turned around and showed him a picture of his family, and he told him, all these children that I have, it's all your father from your father's bracha. My father's bracha said, yeah, dein Tata mich zugesagt. He promised me that I'm going to have a family. My father wasn't that sort of person, Michalal. My father promised, I'm telling you, dein Tata hat zugesagt, I'm a shpocha, mit kinder, all this is your father. Let me know what I can give you towards the yeshiva. So he said, I don't know. I don't want to take money if I don't deserve it. If you tell me your father, do you tell me what you want to give? I don't know. He said, I want to pay for one seder. So he said, one seder? There's no official price tag for the cost of one seder. He said, no, tell me what costs one seder. I'll pay. He says, I don't know the value of one seder, but I'll tell you what might happen with my father. One of my sisters making chasna. And they came to inform my father about where the chasna is going to be. My father inquired exactly where, what. And my sister knew my father wouldn't be too happy. But the chasna was destined to be at a distance of about an hour and a half, 2 hours away from where my father lived. And my father, that would mean he wouldn't be able to be in yeshiva afternoon seder, because he'd have to come to his enikel's chuppah. And my father turned around to my sister and he said, why are you making the chasna there? Make the chasna closer. So she said, Tata, I'd love to be able to make it closer. But it's much more expensive, it's much dearer to make the chasna in town. Further out, it's cheaper, and I can't afford it. So my father said, asked
my sister, how much does it cost? So they said it cost $7,500 more to make it in town. So my father said, wait a minute. Went out of the room. He came back a short while later with $7,500 to my sister. And he gave that $7,500 over. And he said, here's the money. I want to be in yeshiva. Afternoon seder. You make the chasna local. It's my time. It's everybody else's time. It's a bittul Torah. They're traveling backwards and forwards. I'll pay for it. So the son turned around to the givir. He said, you want to know? You want to pay for one seder? I can't tell you the price, the cost for one seder. But I can tell you my father was happy to give $7,500 in order to be an afternoon seder in yeshiva. So that's, so he said, seder? $7,500? No problem at all. He wrote him a check of $7,500 and he left. He came home and he asked his mother, the wife of Shmuel, do you know such a story? The father, Zugezog, they promised avtocha to children. Said, it's not like him at all. But I said, the Gvir was adamant. He gave, she said, I don't know of it. Let's try and trace it. So he found out which tkufa it was that this Gvir was, had his brocha, that he's going to have children. And he traced who Reb Shmuel's chavusa was for that tkufa. And he asked the chavusa, do you know anything of my father giving avtocha for somebody that's going to have children? He said, yes, I remember the maisa. He said, tell me the maisa. He said, it's a langa maisa, but I'll tell you the story. It was a tkufa when I used to learn with your father, chavusa. And he said, Mam b'shmen elam haba, he was a chavusa. And your father lost his son, Reb Leib, that we mentioned earlier, who Le'olenu was shot in Eretz Yisrael, and was moedik tzebrochen, and he was sitting shiva in America. He was sitting shiva, and he was very uncomfortable, he was agitated, he was sitting low, and I went and I asked your father, can I get you a different chair? Maybe you're getting your back, so something's hurting you, something's disturbing you. He said, I'll tell you what's disturbing me. Halten mitten asugya. And then this terrible news came, and I'm desperate to get back to Gemara. I'm sitting shiva over here, I'm turning from side to side, I need to get back to the Bais HaMikdash. So nothing's going to help me, no other comfort is going to help. So they came to the last day of the shiva, and your father told me the night before, Etzu, Kenishme, I need to go back to yeshiva. I get up tomorrow morning from shiva. Tomorrow morning, he says, you take me to Netz. You'll be the one who's going to menachem me, or I'm going to daven Netz. You're going to be menachem me straight after Netz. I get up, you have to sit after davening. So I'm going to daven Netz. You'll get up after, you'll arrange a minion for Netz, whatever it is, straight after Netz, and then you take me back to the Bais HaMikdash, and I'm going to get back to the sugya that was in. He davened Netz, and afterwards I was on the way taking him to yeshiva, accompanying him to yeshiva, and a lady came over to your father, and he said, I've got a daughter, Rabbi, I've got a daughter who's in hospital, she's critically ill, the doctors aren't giving her a chance, she's mamashon, not long to go, I need you to come and give her a blessing. So Shmuel was running after a shiva of his son, they davened Netz to run to Bais HaMikdash, and he's met this person in the street, who asked him for a bracha. What does he do now? He's done everything to get the Bais HaMikdash. She needs a bracha. He stopped. He said, Rabbi, it's Pikuach Nefesh. I need a bracha. You need to come to the hospital. She needs the rabbi's bracha. Shmuel, with his Lev HaRachum, he went and ran together with the lady, together with this other person who was accompanying him, to take him to the hospital. It was a few blocks away, wherever it was, came to the hospital, came to the room, and the mother said, this is my daughter. She's on the machines. She was attached to all the machines to keep her alive, and he said, give her a blessing. She's about to go. Give her a blessing, she should leave. And Shmuel said, but it's a shame, she'll have Arichas Yomim. The mother said, no, that's not enough for me. I need Avtocha. I need a promise that she's going to pull through. Shmuel stood there, stop, was thinking for a few minutes. He said, I give you Avtocha. She's going to survive, she's going to pull through. Give me a bracha, she's going to have family. Shmuel stopped, I give you Avtocha. She's going to have family, she'll have children, she'll survive. And I'm going. He left the hospital, ran back to the yeshiva, and Benissim, this lady, had recovered. And this lady was the wife of the Gevir that Shmuel had gone to visit. So the family was B'schusib Shmuel, and the wife was that. But he said, the story doesn't finish there. He said, he came to yeshiva. So after the shiva, after the hospital, after the bracha, he came to yeshiva, and we started learning. And Shmuel wasn't relaxed. Something was bothering him. All of a sudden, he said, I need to go out. He said, Reb Shmuel went out to his room on the side, and I knew something was going on. Something was bothering him. Something was going to take place. And I hid to see what Reb Shmuel was doing. He said, Reb Shmuel went into the room, and Reb Shmuel said the following words. He said, Abai Varova, you know that I'm your best friend. You know you haven't got many friends like me in this world. I do everything to try and spend all my time learning your Torah. I was in the hospital, and I promised this lady that she's going to become better. I promised this lady she's going to have children. The reason why I gave that promise was Because I was desperate to get back to the Bais Medrash. It's something that I never knew. I never usually do. But I was spent all that time and I ran to the hospital and she was begging me. I didn't know how long I was going to be stuck there. And in desperation, I gave avtocha, yes, in mitzvah Hashem, that she's going to recover. Yes, in mitzvah Hashem, she's going to observe for the children. I gave the promise, but it can't be an open check. I did it because of your learning. Please help me and make sure that this lady should become better. And please make sure that this lady should have children. And with that, he went back in the Bais Medrash and the lady had the recovery. A beautiful maisa of an avtocha from Adam Godel, but I thought to myself when I saw that story, never mind the beauty of the story and his avos hatera and his achrayas, but we're coming towards the Ribbono Shel Olam. Im kivonim, im kavodim, says Rabbi Nebuchai. Im kivonim means, it's not just either like children or kavodim. Kivonim means, mefetzach hazeh v'kinda, says Rabbi Nebuchai. Im kivonim, we act like children. Bonim atem al Hashem elekeichem. If it's kontig, it's nikonaz, it's recognizable that we're taking the children of the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we can ask im kibonim shebezecha. Im kavodim is the harder route, but the takezecha sein, when a person's a friend, then the friends of Abai Verova helped out. Achas kamer v'kamer, we're saying not only friends of the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're saying kind of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but more to be kind of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to act like kind of the Ribbono Shel Olam, takezecha sein, we should be like bonim at Hashem lekechem, and shebezecha tim kibonim, the love of the Ribbono Shel Olam, shebezecha mitzvah Hashem, b'serach kol am Yisrael, תקסיב וחסימתם ונעקות כבן שתי זיסייה.